Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
What's going on? So grateful that you are coming to hang out with us today. We are inside of our soap here at Fusion Church. Whether you're watching live with us on Zoom, come on, my live folks, how are we? Can we get something going us out of the chat? Let's get excited today. Some praise hands, some clap hands. But if you're watching later on via any one of our platforms, our many, many platforms, we're just excited that you're pressing into the Word of God today. One thing I know is when we come to God expectant that He's going to speak to us, He loves to speak. So today we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to be unpacking this thing together, just jumping into some of the verses and having a little bit of fun. So I just want to give an invitation. If you're here live with us on Zoom right now, if you have a verse that stands out to you, put that inside of the chat. If you have a question, hey, this doesn't make sense, or I'd like to know more about it, put it inside of the chat. We'd love to answer. We'd love to follow the track as to how God is speaking to you directly. But why don't we pray? We're going to dive on in. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you that you have given us your written word. So Holy Spirit, I just pray you would illuminate what you want us to see today. God, bring to life what you want us to see today. And help us not only to hear what you want to do in our life, but to follow and obey what you want us to do inside of our life. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. It's the CSB. Whatever translation you're reading is the best one. So make sure that you're pressing into the Word. You don't have to read the same one I read, but you got to at least read the Word. So I'm going to be reading from the CSB for us today. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, this is Paul writing to Timothy. It says, I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to be the judge of the living and the dead, and because of his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who loved his appearing. Make every effort to come to me soon, because Demas has deserted me, since he loved this present world and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia, and only Luke is with me. Bring Mark with you, for he is useful to me in ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak I left in Troas with Carpus, as well as the scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did great harm to me. The Lord will repay him according to his works. Watch out for him yourself, because he strongly opposed our words. At my first offense, no one stood by me, but everyone deserted me. It may not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that I might fully preach the word, and all Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil work and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus, Erastus has reminded at Corinth. I left Trophimus sick and Miletus. Make every effort to come to me this winter. Eulabus greets you, as do Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Come on, so good. 2 Timothy chapter 4. How good is that? Hey, any verses that stand out to you, be sure to share it. Again, any questions, drop them inside the chat. Love, love, love to hear that God is speaking to you. We are going to kick this conversation off with us today, diving into the very first verse. This is Paul writing to Timothy. So Timothy is a young minister, and he's a young pastor, fired up, and just trying to navigate, figure out himself, and figure out what his ministry is going to look like. And I really enjoy right here how the Apostle Paul, off the gate, shares something with Timothy, and he says, "I charge you before God." So he's charging, encouraging, sending, and commissioning him. And he says, "I charge you, who's going to judge the living and the dead." He's going to judge the living and the dead. Now, I had something happen over here by my house recently, and it was something I hadn't seen in a long time. I feel like the last time I experienced something like this, I was a child. And I watched it happen, go past my childhood home, and I laughed the entire time as I saw it happen, as a kid naturally would. But I was sitting on my front stoop. It was, getting into the evening, sipping some water, waiting for my wife to get home. And all of the sudden, I see a car drive past my house, and a dog was running behind it, chasing the car. How many of us can remember a time where we saw a dog chasing a car? I'm sure we've all heard the expression, "I'm a dog chasing a car." But I saw it happen and I couldn't help but crack up. I knew which neighbor's dog it was. And I'm watching as they're chasing their owner's car down the street. And I'm like, they have no idea. Their dog just got out and he's following that car. Now, praise God, the dog is fine. I called the owner. The dog got in the car and got brought back home. However, I'm watching this dog chase the car. And as I'm watching him chase the car, all I can think is, what is the dog going to do when he catches the car? Right? Has anyone ever thought about this? You're a dog, and as soon as you catch the bumper, what are you going to do? You're just going to hold on to the bumper. But nothing's actually going to happen. You can't win against the car. The dog's just going to chase the car, and the car is going to stop, and the dog's going to run up to the car. Well, I think sometimes we are like dogs chasing cars. And when we think about eternity, sometimes we are the dog just trying to chase the car, but don't think what's going to happen when we actually get the car. So here's what eternity looks like for us. Eternity sometimes, and this is how we live. We think we just want to get into a heaven. We just want to get into the eternal presence of Jesus, and then that's it. But I want to tell you, there's an afterwards after the afterward. There's a moment, there's a portion of eternity that we have to think about other than just getting in. Because I don't want to just get into eternity by the skin of my teeth. I want to get in there and I want to be in the presence of Jesus. And in addition to that, when it talks about Jesus being the judge, you ready for this? Jesus being the judge to us, which, by the way, hey, he's going to judge the household of faith first. That's you and me, church. In his judgment, by the way, it doesn't have to do with eternal destination. His judgment has to do with rendering reward. So for us, we don't have to sit and worry after receiving Jesus, after asking him into our heart, trusting him as our Lord and Savior, that we're going to get up into heaven and then he's going to look at us and say, "Peace out, homie." We don't have to worry about that. For us, where we land is, hey, it's not going to be based on eternal destination, but instead eternal reward. So I want to live, as Pastor Brennan would say, life, live intentionally for eternity. So for me, what that looks like is I want to make sure whatever reward that Jesus wants to give me, I'm living intentionally for the reward that he wants to pour out on my life. Because I don't want to miss something. I don't want to be the dog chasing the car. Because if I finally catch the bumper, what am I going to do with it once I get there? And sometimes I really do believe that's how we treat our eternal destination. Hey, I'm just trying to get to heaven and let the rest be figured out. Yeah, Jesus is going to figure it out. He's going to render the reward. But however, he's going to render reward based on the works we do on this side of eternity. He's going to render reward based on our obedience on this side of eternity. And what he's waiting for, and we all have equal opportunity, is hey, don't be a dog chasing a car. Instead, be a runner racing a race. Run your race, cross the finish line, be faithful every single step of the way so that when we get there is a massive eternal reward waiting for us upon arrival. So for us, when it talks about Jesus being the judge, hey, so often, I'm sure at some point in your life, you have heard a negative connotation around Jesus being the judge. But I want to share with you, that is an incredible, joyous experience because for us as the Christ follower, when it talks about being the judge, that means we step into his presence, and that's the moment where he gets to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Here's your reward. Thank you for being faithful for the calling that I placed on your life because you impacted these people over here. And look at this. There are people that have stepped into eternal glory with Jesus because of your faithfulness. So I'm sharing this with you today because I know so many of us, so many of us, as we live, as we walk, as we kind of go through everything, I want to share with you, we can shift our perspective sometimes where it should be on the eternal, it should be on Jesus. To the temporal. It shifts from, hey, I got this on the horizon, because guess what? We all know that the days go quick, the nights go quick, the hours go quick. And I am my child is somehow in some way a year old already. And then we were talking to someone the other day. They said, hey, how old is your son? I'm like, oh, he just turned a year. My wife looked at me and said, he's 13 months, hon. And I said, you've got to be kidding me. Where did a month go? Right? But how many of us, we all know the time flies so fast, so fast. So I'm sharing this with you because if we start living intentionally today, we'll be intentional tomorrow. And I want us, and I want you, church, I want you for all of the rewards that Jesus wants to give you. All of the goodness he wants to pour out on your life, all of the goodness that he wants to give you inside of eternity. I want to give you such a strong encouragement. Live intentionally for eternity today. And what does that mean? What does that look like? What that looks like is, what has he asked you to do and being faithful to it? If he asked you to buy coffee for the person at Wawa, buy the coffee. Hey, if he asked you to tip a little bit more to that waiter or waitress when you go out to eat, leave the big tip. You know, we used to have and this was something that my wife and I did for a period of time until we felt like, you know, the Lord asked us to stop. We would only go out to eat if we could afford tipping 100% on the bill. And that's because we wanted to show people, hey, Jesus is generous. And when we did that, we saw people coming to Christ. And maybe that's a calling for you today, that when you hear that, it sparks something inside your spirit, inside of your heart. That my living intentionally for eternity, my act of obedience is going to be blessing people wherever I go. So this is what I'm sharing with you. Wherever your call to obedience is, step into it today. When you step into it, you start collecting eternal reward. As Jesus says, where moth and rust do not fade away the riches that you store inside of heaven. But on this side of earth, if we focus everything on this earth, this side of eternity, if we focus everything that we do here inside of this lifetime in regards to storing up treasure, in regards to storing up wealth, in regards to storing up stuff, possessions, I want to share with you, you can't take it with you. So one of the best things we can do, one of the best things we can do is say, God, I'm going to make sure I store up for myself inside of eternity all the riches I possibly can. And it's a beautiful thing that Jesus is judge. And I see, yes, when it comes to eternity, love this question. The question says, hey, how can we not have jealousy? How can we not have envy when it comes to being inside of eternity? I believe when we get there, we actually receive the perfect version. Praise God, sin no longer exists. Thank you, Lord. The flesh no longer exists. Come on, I'm excited for that. When we get there, I don't believe those feelings will necessarily be inside of us. Well, I think we'll have a much wider, expanded understanding and concept of what we look at, and we'll be content, as the Apostle Paul says, I know how to be content with and both without. And I think in our contentment, we won't live in jealousy. Instead, we'll be more concerned or more focused on fulfilling the role that we have inside of eternity, because there's work for us in forever. Not going to get into that side of it today, but there's going to be a little bit of work for us. So that's the first part. Hey, Jesus and judge in verse one. Next thing we're going to look at is just in verse two, where it says this very simply, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and teaching. Very simply, what I have to say about this, stay ready, you never got to get ready. Whoo, the real ones know, stay ready and you never got to get ready. I believe, especially as Timothy was a young minister. He was preaching the word, he was being faithful, and the Apostle Paul is telling him, listen, do not stop. Keep bringing the word. And if you stay ready, you stay studied, then you never have to sit there and try and figure it out and get ready. He was saying, hey, church, us today, because guess what? If no one told you yet, hey, this is me ordaining you today. We are all preachers of the word. It's not just someone from a platform on a Sunday morning. Your life preaches the word. When you live and you choose to love somebody, when you choose to be faithful, you're preaching the word inside your actions. We are all preachers of the word. And what I mean by this is, hey, I'm going to share the love of Jesus every single place that I go. And plus, this beautiful word right here, this book, this Bible is the anchor for our life. It is the message of hope. It is the thing that tells me what I'm doing right. And hey, sometimes that thing that I'm doing wrong. So I want to be sure I'm always preaching the word. And if I'm going to preach the word, I have to know the word. And this is where I love about it. Hey, if I want to preach the word, I have to study the word. Because if I stay ready, I never got to get ready. And I want to very simply bring something to you today. It's this idea. And I think you may relate to me inside of this because this is something I do every single day. And maybe you're the same way. For myself, here's what I do. I overestimate what I can do in a day, but I underestimate what I can do in a lifetime. Because how many of us have the to-do list for the day? And my to-do list for the day, by the way, is massive. Always is. It's huge. And then I'm sitting there plugging away, just trying to get it done, trying to get done, trying to get done. I even plan out my week. I put my stuff all over. I try to organize it. Like, I'm gonna work on this day, this at this time, this right here, this right here. And I'm like trying to get all together. And then next thing you know, I get one phone call and the day is just off. It's like, all right, I got new stuff I gotta handle, right? But I overestimate what I can do inside of one singular day. Maybe you're like me. I'm gonna wake up early. Come on, where are we at, people? I'm gonna work out. Whoo! After that, I'm gonna get myself together. I'm gonna eat a healthy breakfast. I'm gonna cook breakfast. And if the kids and my spouse were nice to me the day before, I'll make them some too. And after that, I go to work. And when I get home, I'm gonna cook the best dinner. I'm gonna do the laundry. I'm gonna mop the kitchen. Where are we at? I'm gonna clean the shower that I've been talking about cleaning for 6 months. And then right after that, I'm gonna vacuum my kids' room because when was the last time the kids' room was vacuumed because it smells horrific in there, right? And then what happens? The day comes, and maybe, just maybe, we cook breakfast. Because so often we overestimate what we can do in a day and underestimate what we can do in a lifetime. I'm sharing this with you because I believe the best way to angle our heart towards Jesus and the best way to go ahead and live in the calling that God has placed in our life and to preach the word is very simply this: consistency. Consistency. What if we did less, but what we did mattered more? And what I'm sharing with you is I believe in consistency for ourselves. Some of the best things we could do is build our spiritual habits. Our spiritual habits, and I'll share some of mine with you. I am it's kind of disgusting. I'm a creature of habit. You can set a stopwatch to me, and I promise, like I'm pretty much this is how disgusting it is for me. I will sometimes count the number of steps it takes me to walk from my bed downstairs to get my coffee to get back upstairs because I'm like, all right, how can I get quicker at this to get my morning routine faster? No joke. It's wild. Like I just heard a coach say once, and I'm like, all right, I wonder if I can move a little quicker in my morning routine, you know? But my habits are insane with the way that I always try to structure my life. But some of the best habits, right? Some of the best habits I'll build are my spiritual ones. It's waking up and it's saying, Jesus, I love you. First thing I do as soon as my eyes open is I pray. I meet with Jesus. And this is the aspect where we want to grow closer to God. After that, hey, I'm disgusting when it comes to reading my Bible in regards to I do the same regimen every single day. And I think I've been doing it for like 11 or 12 years. It's the same thing every day. I wake up, I read a few chapters, usually 2 to 3 chapters. If three if it's not super long chapters, but two if they're decent sized. And then I pray those chapters. And then I take an application point and I literally write down, what am I going to do with what I just studied? And I look through the promises of God, and then I begin to pray those promises that I have. And it's kind of wild. As soon as I get into my devotional time, I play some worship music. I go ahead and I read my Bible, and then I pray what it is I just read, and then I worship some more. It's just so structured, regimented, never changes. But I'm sharing this with you because consistency starts to build something inside of us that we don't even see. Because at first, we may think, I need to read 10 chapters today, or I need to read the entire book of 2 Timothy, right? How many of us have ever thought like that? It's like, well, you want to know what? If I just read the entire book, I'll get there. It really ain't about the chapters. And let me even share this with you for some of us. I'm a completionist. Maybe you're kind of a little bit like me. I like to finish what it is that I'm doing in regards to, like, doing this and the little details. It's like, ooh, I want to, like, make sure I hit all the chapters and all the verses. Well, guess what? God didn't add chapters and verses to the Bible. That wasn't his job. That was people. They wanted to make it as easy as possible. So they decided, hey, this is a letter to Timothy. So guess what? We're going to call it Timothy. Oh, there's a second letter to Timothy. We're just going to call it 2 Timothy. Keep it moving. Hey, this book is called Matthew, or Matthew wrote this book. We're just going to name it after Matthew. Just put his name on it. Let's get it moving. And they decided the chapters and verses and broke it up the best they could. Was a prayerful, of course. However, I'm sharing this with you because it's not always about the chapters and verses. What it's really about is connecting with Jesus. And if we consistently connect with Jesus over the course of a lifetime, we'll accomplish way more than if we think we can get more done inside of a day. I want to tell you, hey, today, just be consistent. Today, hey, just be faithful. Today, just pray. Don't worry about praying for 82 minutes. If you can pray for 5 minutes, pray for 5 minutes and make it happen. Is anyone with me today? Because your consistency every day will produce a lifetime of fruitfulness. But if we sit here and we try to eat the whole elephant in one sitting, we'll never get the elephant done. But if we start eating it one bite at a time, if we start moving slow, if we start taking time, if we start, hey, I'm ra rather than trying to read the entire Bible in a year, please hear me. I'm going to read the Bible over the course of 3 years. And that's perfectly fine because it's not about hitting the end goal. What it's about is this: connecting with Jesus. So if we want to preach the word, we have to study the word. That means consistency. Next thing I want to look at is this. It's verse 5. Right after where we talk about preaching the word and being ready in season and out of season, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, hey, a time is going to come where people will not tolerate sound doctrine, right? Hey, a time is going to come where people are just going to want to hear what they want to hear. They're going to be motivated all the time, but never challenged. Hey, what I love about Fusion Church is we want to be challenged, right? We want to go ahead. We want some people to get in our faces sometimes. This is why we love Connect Groups. Yeah. Do we want to inspire and motivate 100%? But what I love about our church is now it get in my face a little bit sometimes to tell me the way I should be going. Tell me the way that I should go, right? So, after he challenges Timothy, he's like, hey, don't just preach what they want to hear or preach what they need to hear. Where after that, he says in verse 5, but as for you, exercise self-control in everything, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Exercise self-control. So I'm going to tie this in with the last thing we just talked about, staying consistent, exercising self-control in everything. And for my note takers, I always try to have a one-liner for you. And this is for you. Self-control isn't about restriction, it's about direction. Self-control isn't about restriction, it's about direction. Self-control isn't about trying to stop doing something. Self-control is actually deciding that I want great over good. Because self-control would tell us, this may be some shots fired, but I love you. I'm going to start with that. Self-control is not doom scrolling on your phone for 5, 6 hours straight. Where are my people at? Self-control is saying that Instagram Reels, Facebook, let me just take what, hey, Facebook Marketplace, if I'm talking to you, I love you. You don't have to DM me afterwards. It's all good. Hey, self-control is saying I don't need to spend endless hours staring at a screen. Instead, I'm going to lay down what's good and pick up what's great, right? I'll never forget this, and I'll share a story with you. And just some of my ministry past, right? So I was a lead pastor for a period of time at a church close by and loved the church. It great people, and it was growing. And I remember because I pastored the church into COVID. Like I took the church and we went right into COVID. It was a very difficult chapter. But before I was a lead pastor, I was the associate pastor. And one of the things I would always tell people is, and I would ask, hey, how's your Bible reading? What's God saying to you? Like, what's the fresh word? What's going on? Tell me, fill me in. And as we're having these conversations, people are like, oh, I'm just so busy. I have no time to read my Bible. Oh, no, the kid has sports. I don't have time. I'm like, okay, like, hey, I don't have kids. So I'm not going to sit here in judgment. Because now I have a kid and it's like, I'm doing everything I can to make sure I read my Bible, stay connected to Jesus, right? I remember having all these conversations, then COVID hit. And what happened when COVID hit? Everyone had time out of nowhere. We were all sitting at home. And I remember I was like, all right, we need to get innovative in how we're doing pastoral care, how we're doing church, how we're doing ministry. So for us, we did the drive-in services. Like I was like, all right, let's pioneer and innovate something. So everyone's going to drive their cars in. We're going to have everything coned out. They're going to pull up and we're going to have it set to a radio station inside of their car. And I'm going to preach from a field and it's going to stream into their car. And rather than saying amen, I'm going to say honk your horn. They're going to beep their horn. It's going to be awesome. Let me tell you, it was so much fun. And then in addition to that, I did some house calls. So it's like I was pulling up my car and parking outside. And what I would do is I would show up with a cup of coffee for myself and them. And we would just brew coffee at home all day. And I'm driving to church members. No joke. This is what COVID looked like for my life. And I remember every single person's house I would get to, hey, what's God saying to you? What's going on? And it's like, oh, you want to know what? I just don't have any time to read my Bible. And I'm looking at him, I was like, what are you doing? I was like, there's nothing going on. I was like, and they're like, well, I'm just watching the news. I said, okay, turn the news off for 15 minutes. Read your Bible. And I remember because I sat with one person. I was like, I wanted to get my question answered. I was like, so what was it? Because we chatted pre-COVID and you weren't reading, and now we're during, and we're all at home. And you just told me you don't have anything to do. You did laundry 6 times today. What's going on? How do you wear that many clothes? We're just inside. We're having some great conversation. And he just said, I don't know what it is. I can't do it. And I looked at them and said, let me see your phone. And yeah, we did the no-no. I went and grabbed the phone and didn't practice social distancing. Please forgive me. But I walked up and I took their phone. And as soon as that's really funny, Doug. As soon as I looked at the phone, I went to their screen time. And when I say they spent 12 hours on Facebook, I was like, I have no sympathy anymore. And I went on their phone, I deleted Facebook off their phone. Forgive me. And I took it off. I was like, all right, I took care of the problem. You're good. Now I'm sharing this story with you. And I'm hoping I'm making you laugh a little bit just as we have some fun. I had a good relationship with the person. We teased a lot. Hey, sometimes you just have to check what you have inside your life and practice some self-control. Because if something is taking more time than your time connecting with Jesus, and I know things are good. Hey, the kids always take time. Hey, the family takes time. Hey, the spouse takes time. Hey, the chores take time. The job takes time, right? There's nothing bad with that. However, our heart first goes to Jesus. And I get to be the best husband. Come on. The best son, the best father. Hey, you, best wife, best spouse, best employee, best boss, best manager, best friend that we could be because we connect with Jesus. And all of this will come out of practicing self-control in our life. And it's not about restriction. It's not about getting off of Facebook. It's about direction. Because what I'm saying is, instead of having something that makes me feel good all the time, I'm going to do what's good for me. And I'm going to choose to direct my life into the purpose that God has for me. Self-control, it's not about restriction, it's about direction. And I want to make sure whatever direction I'm going in, it's God's best for my life. So I'm always making sure that I'm being directed by the habits that are consistently being placed inside of my life. I'm building my life on the best things. I'm making sure that my habits aren't all, please hear me, eating good, even though we want to go ahead and say, take care of the temple, but please hear me. Some of the best habits we can build are spiritual habits. Build everything off of your time with Jesus. Build everything off of your Bible study. Build everything off your prayer life. Build everything off your worship life. Because from there, everything else starts to come in order. Everything else starts to come in line. So as we close with this, I'm just going to say, hey, Live intentionally for eternity because Jesus is judge. And because he's judge, he wants to give you rewards. So make sure we want to live in such a way that we receive the reward. We want to finish the race well. I don't want to fall apart halfway through the race. Where's everyone at? I don't want to fall down, scrape my knee, and say boo-hoo and stay there. I want to finish my race. I'm going to rub a little dirt in it and keep going. So I'll make sure I'm living intentionally for eternity. Hey, in addition to that, preach the word. You are a preacher every single place that you go. You are a carrier and ambassador of the love of Jesus. So preach the word. If you want to preach the word, you have to study the word, which means consistency is so very necessary. Your consistency, hey, you can accomplish way more over the course of a lifetime than you could over the course of a day. So make sure we're being consistent every day to sow into the lifetime. And in closing, very simply this, exercise self-control in everything. Self-control is not about restriction. It's about direction. And it's choosing what direction I want to go in today. Because you are the one. Please hear me. There, I heard this recently and it inspired me and challenged me all at the same time. When you start realizing that life isn't coming at you, it's coming from you, everything starts to change in your perspective. Because what I'm saying is, I am choosing to be a life giver today. And if I want to be a life giver, I have to choose the direction that the life giver lives inside of me. I have to choose the direction that I'm going to make sure that the life giver can give life to people around me. And everyone said, Amen. Hey, let's pray together. God, thank you. Lord, I'm so grateful that you are here with us and God, you're speaking to us today. Holy Spirit, I just pray, help us exercise self-control as we grow in that fruit of the Holy Spirit. God, I just pray that for all those who may struggle to read your word, for all those who have a hard time engaging inside of your word, Lord, I just pray you would give them such a strong desire and passion to hop into it that they don't want to do anything else. Help them build holy habits. And God, help us live intentionally for eternity today because we know in a good way, not in a bad way, you're always watching. You're watching everything we do, everything we think, everything we say, every heart motive that we have. So God, I just pray help angle us in such a way that pleases you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I love you all. God bless you. Have a good one.